You may be seated. Okay, as mentioned, we are talking about parables. In stories, because remember, parable is a type of story. Stories, we like to play the game of who are you in this story. Does anybody else like to play that game? You know, like, where do I fit into this in this story? And I, you know, it may be something you think just kids do, but I actually like to do this too. So at the Avengers movies, my daughters and I have all labeled who we are. I of course, am the Incredible Hulk. Joy is Iron Man. Hope is Spider-Man. Grace is Thor. And who am I forgetting? Glory is Captain America. That's it. So that's how we flip. And we usually like to fit ourselves into the hero part of the story. I even did this when I was a little kid with my brother. We collected G.I. Joes. And the G.I. Joes, if you remember, were the good guys. And the Cobra Command were the bad guys. And since I was the older brother, I said, well, I'm going to collect the G.I. Joes. You collect the Cobras. So he had to collect the Cobra people, and I got to collect the heroes of the story. But anyway, maybe you could think of yourself doing that as a kid, or maybe even now, inserting yourself into the story. And the Bible is no different. We do the same thing in the Bible. Like, for example, the story, it's not a story, it's an event of David and Goliath. You know, we like to make ourselves David, the hero of that event where he takes down the mighty Goliath. And so we like to be, picture ourselves as David, you know, conquering the giants in our life, the big things that are going on in our life, when in reality, we probably would have been one of those Israelites on the sidelines wetting ourselves, scared of Goliath. So, and today we are going to take a look at one of the most popular, most well-known parables that Jesus told, the Good Samaritan. And this parable is so well-known, it's used in our society time and time again. If you hear news events on the time, you'll hear occasionally a Good Samaritan help somebody out, for example, or whatever. We have hospitals named Good Samaritan. We have food pantries named Good Samaritan. Senior assisted living facilities named Good Samaritan. There is even a Good Samaritan law here in Indiana. Did you know that? And here's what it says. These laws are designed to protect volunteers who help others in order to encourage emergency assistance from bystanders. The laws remove the threat of liability in a situation. They provide legal protection in the event that unintended consequences arise from reasonable interference. So there you go. You can be a Good Samaritan without the fear of being sued. But we even have that here in Indiana. And all of this stuff comes from this parable that Jesus told. And so again, remember, a parable is a type of a story that compares two objects for the purpose of teaching a moral or spiritual truth. Or another way to put it is, it's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And Jesus wasn't the only one that told parables. There's even parables in the Old Testament on occasion. And so before we look at this popular parable, it's important to look at the context of why Jesus told this parable in the first place, of what sets it up. And you heard Bill read it just a couple minutes ago, the context. So what happens is, there is a lawyer that comes up to Jesus. Now, the lawyer in those times is not what we think of when we think of lawyers. He's not like Atticus Finch or Matlock or Perry Mason. Does anybody know those people? But a lawyer then is somebody who is an expert in the Jewish laws, all those man-made laws that they made in addition to God's law. And so this is a guy that's an expert in the law. So the fact that he's coming up and asking Jesus a question should tell you something. He's trying to trick Jesus, trying to trap him. So what prompts this parable is this question from the lawyer. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? What shall I do to inherit eternal life? And remember, we just spent a number of weeks talking about grace. We are saved by grace through faith. God's riches at Christ's expense, we are getting something that we don't deserve. The law does not save us. And this lawyer is coming up and saying, what must I do? Remember, the law is not a book of how-tos, how to live. The law is, the heart of the law is God's mercy and love for us. So Jesus asks the lawyer a question back. How does he interpret the law? So we all like to do that. You know, we all have different interpretations of things. For example, I'll set the cruise control on the interstate at 74, justifying myself, saying, you know, that's okay. I'm not going to get pulled over for going 74 when it's 70. And we do this in all kinds of things. And the lawyer does the exact same thing. He's trying to justify himself by asking this question back to Jesus. Who is my neighbor? Because Jesus just gave him the answer of, you know, you shall love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. And so now the lawyer is going to justify himself by saying, who is my neighbor? He's trying to look for a loophole in this law that he already knows. And so Jesus asks him that question. And so he knew what is meant by your neighbor. But like I said, the loophole, he's looking for one because he knows he doesn't love all of his neighbors. And remember, absolutely no one on this earth that has ever lived is excluded from God's love. And so when we try to justify ourselves, we are implying that the law is not clear. It's a little shady. So when we are confronted with the law, how often do you try to justify yourself? Do you ever do that? How often do you justify yourself when confronted with the law? The lawyer says, who is my neighbor? And so since we are talking about parables, and a parable is a type of story, I found out that there is five elements to a good story. And this may be something I learned in school, I don't remember. But I found this on the internet. But there are five elements, and that's kind of how I've broken down this parable for us. So now you have the context of why Jesus told this particular parable, because of the lawyer's question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? So the five elements to a good story: a setting, characters, a plot, a conflict, and a resolution. So as we look at the Good Samaritan parable, which is found in Luke chapter 10, verses 30 through 36, The setting that Jesus sets up is there's a road that goes from Jerusalem to Jericho. Now, it says in the Bible, Jerusalem, this road goes down to Jericho. Now, I have a map here. And by the way, Jesus is using a real road for this parable. This is a real road in Israel. And if you notice, it's actually going up. But remember, Jerusalem is on a mountain. So this road was a dangerous road to be on because a lot of thieves and robbers would hide along this road and rob people. So the people that were listening to this parable would have understood what's going on here with this dangerous road that people would travel on from Jerusalem to Jericho. So that's the setting of the parable. The characters in this parable. We have the injured and beaten man. There's a guy walking on this road down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He gets attacked by some robbers, beat him up to within an inch of his life, take all of his belongings, and take off. We have that man, the beaten man. We have the robbers. Then there's two guys that walk by the beaten down man, the priest and the Levite, who pass by on the other side of the road. They don't want to have anything to do with this beaten man because there's rules that you can't touch somebody who's bleeding like that and dying because that would make you unclean. And so the priest and the Levite don't want to have anything to do with this beaten and dying man. And then you have the Good Samaritan. And it's interesting and fascinating that Jesus uses the Samaritan as the hero in the story. Because Jesus knew the intent of that lawyer when he said, "Who is my neighbor?" He knew that he didn't really love Samaritans. Because remember, Jews and Samaritans did not get along. They were taught to not like Samaritans. They were the unclean people. They weren't God's people. And so Jesus says the Good Samaritan comes along and helps this guy out. And then the final character is the innkeeper. So now the plot. I told you the plot already. It's a man gets robbed and beaten to death on this road. That's the plot of Jesus' parable here. And the conflict, who's going to help this guy? Who is going to help this beaten and dying man? And so we get to the resolution of the parable. The Good Samaritan saves the beaten person on the road who is beaten and bloodied from the robbers and who is neglected by the priest and the Levite. And so that's the parable. And so what do we like to do? What did I say at the beginning? What do we like to do with stories and TV shows and movies? We like to play the game and, you know, who are we in the story? Where do we fit into this? Are you the priest? Are you the one that walks by somebody who needs the help? Are you the Levite who does the same? Are you the robbers, the ones who come and take everything from the beaten man? Or are you the Good Samaritan, the one who stops by and helps out? We love to make the Good Samaritan parable all about us and how we should be like the Good Samaritan. And yes, of course, we can all think of times where we've been all of these characters in the story, right? There's times that I know I've acted like the priest or the Levite or the robbers. So yes, of course, we should be like the Good Samaritan. But if we leave it there, if we leave this parable right there that we should be like the Good Samaritan, we're missing the main point of this parable. Like I said, of course we should be like the Good Samaritan. That is obvious. But what about all those times that we're not the Good Samaritan? What about those times when we're the priest or the Levite or the robbers? What then? If we were saved by being a Good Samaritan, I'm pretty sure we'd all be in a lot of trouble. Because there's lots of times where we fall short and don't act like that Good Samaritan. The lawyer knew he couldn't keep the law perfectly because he didn't love all his neighbors. He didn't love those people over there. He knew that, so he was trying to justify himself. So once again, remember, the crimson thread ties the whole Bible together. And this parable boils down to the do versus done. If it was up to us to do everything perfectly to save ourselves, we'd be in big trouble. The fact that our salvation is done, it's been taken care of. So the fact of the matter is, in the parable of the Good Samaritan, we, you and I, are that beaten, bloody, dying man on the side of the road. That's who we are, in need of a Savior. And so the Good Samaritan in this parable is none other than Jesus. I have the title of my sermon on your sheets. The Good Samaritan is dot, dot, dot. Put Jesus in capital letters. You see, when we make this parable about this, Jesus is the one who comes into our lives and rescues us. When we're beaten down, when we're bloodied and bruised from life, from all the things that life and the devil throw at us each and every day, and we don't have any answers here in the world, Jesus is the one who comes to rescue us. And remember what the Good Samaritan did in the parable after he, you know, took care of the beaten man, took him to the inn. Think of the inn as the church. This is where we come to hear God's word and to receive his gifts of forgiveness and his body and blood, which we'll get to celebrate here in a few minutes, where we are healed. And the Good Samaritan says to that innkeeper, "And I'll be back." Because you see, Jesus is the ultimate Good Samaritan. He is the one that did the doing for us. He's the one that lived a perfect life, lived perfectly every single law, no sin, and then took all of our sins, all of them, onto his back, up onto that cross, where he died for them. And because of Jesus doing that and then rising 3 days later, when we die, it's not over. Jesus is coming back and taking us to be with him forever in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.